there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Monday, February 13, 2012. We have a full week of special programming lined up for you. No news headlines all week. We'll start off the week with a fascinating discussion about fallen angels, giants, UFOs, and the New World Order. All of the topics in 1 hour, jam-packed with information and ideas and speculation about the end times. Now, Tuesday and Wednesday's program will be a two-part series. On Tuesday, Mr. Neil Howe will be here to discuss his 1997 book, The Fourth Turning. I read it over the Christmas holidays, and it absolutely rocked my world. It was like finding the missing piece to a puzzle I've been assembling in my head for years. And I would strongly encourage you to read the book, The Fourth Turning. Now, it's not a Christian book. This is a secular book. But it will change the way you're looking at time. We'll continue our discussion about The Fourth Turning on Wednesday's program. I'll host a roundtable discussion with the man who introduced me to the book, Aaron Brickman. Dr. C.R. Oliver and Nathan Liao will join Aaron and me to discuss how The Fourth Turning relates to the current crisis that America and the world has entered, and how it relates to the church in fulfilling the Great Commission. Thursday's program will be another roundtable discussion. The topic will be war with Iran and Ezekiel 38 and 39. The presenters will be Bible prophecy teacher Jim Haddock, Pastor Steve Grant, son of Dave and Nona Grant, and prophecy teacher Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club. And we'll end the week by suspending reality and taking a mind trip with Andrew Bashago, who claims that in the 1980s, he and a young man named Barry Satoru, you ever heard of that name? He says that they were part of a top-secret U.S. government Stargate-like project. Well, I'll let you decide on that one. Anyway, you're going to enjoy hearing the story. That's the lineup this week. I hope there aren't any big world news events because I'm not going to change the lineup. There will be no news headlines this week. I've got to devote myself to a major project this week, and it requires my full attention and time. Let's start off this special week by introducing my guest, Mr. C.K. Quarterman. As a young man, he got an education in a Bible college, but the Holy Spirit interrupted that and guided him into the business world. He became a respected source of knowledge on the subjects of business ownership and franchising. He's the author of The American Dream, a systematic guide to starting and owning a business. Something happened, however, to C.K. Quarterman. It was a chance encounter on an evening walk. And from that evening on, he has worked solely for the purpose of exposing the kingdom of darkness that seeks to overthrow the kingdom of light and enslave the masses of humanity. He recently published a book titled Fallen Angels, Giants, UFO Encounters, and the New World Order. Mr. C.K. Quarterman, welcome to True News.
Thank you. We're very glad to be here.
Well, C.K., we're going to have a fascinating discussion here today. And I'm going to tell our audience before we started this interview, C.K. and I had a time of Holy Spirit anointed prayer. And I'll tell you, we do this with our programs, but particularly whenever we have a topic like this, fallen angels, giants, UFOs. CK, I have in the past, as I told you, we have had some very bizarre, weird things that have happened while we're trying to record such programs. There's no doubt in my mind that this topic is Satan's most classified secret. I am convinced of it. This is his big ace up his sleeve that he is waiting to bring out and fool the whole world. But you and I are going to, we've already dealt with him, and we've put him under our feet in the name of Jesus, and we bound those demonic spirits. You and I are just going to have a good discussion here. My dog Gator is here. He wanted to listen in on this this interview, so he has promised that he's going to be quiet and just stay right here at my feet. And you and I are just going to talk about this fascinating subject. I got to start out. Okay, let's just get to the what happened that night you were taking a walk.
Well, that night that I was taking a walk was what encouraged me to come forth with what I'd been studying for 20 years. Previous to this, you know, I'd mentioned something like giants or, you know, UFOs to somebody, and you know, they would roll their eyes, and, you know, it was sort of persecutionatory. And I had started, I felt like the Lord had wanted me to write this down, and I took probably over 1,000 different notes that I had conglomerated over the years, and I sat down and began writing those things, but I still wasn't sure that I was going to come forth with it, because it's caused a lot of persecution and sickness and trials and so forth that we've gone through personally.
Are you telling me, CK, that whenever you explore this topic, you encounter severe spiritual opposition?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've heard this from other people too.
And that night, I was in the mountains of North Carolina. I was writing the book, and I have a dog too, a Star, and she, of course, has to, you know, take her walk and take care of her business at night. And I open the door and let her out and walk outside there with her. And when I did, I saw this very tall, 10, 12 foot tall creature hiding behind a large tree. And it had the face of an animal, but the body of a man. Now, I'm familiar with bears, and I know what bears look like when they stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bear's a bear. But this was a humanoid with an animal face. And I knew immediately what it was. It was a Nephilim. Some people call it a Nephilim, but it's actually pronounced Nephilim.
Nephilim, that's the correct way?
That's the correct way, and it comes from the Hebrew word meaning to fall. You know, Nephil means fall,
mm-hmm.
And it's the fallen. Anyway, this Nephilim, and I looked at him, he looked at me, I said, Star, I said, come on, girl, let's go back inside. And I consequently turned around and went back inside. Now, I'm no hero. You know, I wasn't going to stand in and try to talk to it. I certainly wasn't prepared to take on something like that.
That's all you did? I think I would have done my business there with the dog, too.
Yeah, it's sort of anticlimactic. I mean, you know, you'd think, you know, what do? Run, get your gun. I mean, I just figured the best thing to do was retreat, and it was just confirmation about what I was writing about.
Okay, so you had already, you were deep into this subject for years when this incident happened.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So you knew what it was.
Oh, yeah. The book took about 8 months to write. I'd been studying this stuff for about 20 years, and I was about 7 months into writing it.
Okay.
So there was no question the moment I saw it. I knew what it was. It was a you know, a hybrid animal human.
Did it do anything when you came out the door?
No, I don't think it could. I think that my personal opinion is these hybrids are subject to the name of Jesus. And I think because of that, and I think there was an angels and anointing that was there, he wasn't able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I think in a providential manner, the Lord just allowed me to see him to confirm that this message needed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing when you study about these things and write about them, but it's another when you can say, hey, I've actually seen this.
Right.
And I was no big hero here, but I don't mean to imply that I was.
But was there any fear on you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that, you know, I think the Lord's behind that, too. I mean, you tend to get a little bit frightened after it's over with. You sit down and think about it, that, you know, something like that could tear you from limb to limb. But
okay, this critter was, how tall was he?
I would say that he was, I'm 5'8". Well, no, I'm 5'9", so let's round that off and say 6, 7, 8. I'd say 10 feet.
10 feet tall. Mm-hmm. He had the body form of a human, but he had the face of an animal. What kind of an animal? Anything you would recognize?
I would say something like a dog or a wolf kind of face.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he turned one way and another and looked at me and,
So was this like a werewolf type of creature?
Well, yes, it was. I shy away from probably saying that.
I understand, but
I think that connotates a whole lot of different things. But
the pop culture is really fascinated with werewolves now. Hollywood and the television industry telling kids and teenagers werewolves are cool.
Well. Werewolves exist. They always have. The Bible tells us in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse, that the sons of God, that is the Beni Elohim, which are angels. There's really no other way you can interpret that because it comes out of two different other places in the Old Testament where that word is referred only to angels. And it says that they cohabitated with the daughters of men. The daughters of Adam. And from this union were born giants, is the way the King James says, and men of renown. Well, the Hebrew for that giants is Nephilim. And what these were the creatures of mythology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever looked at the hieroglyphics on pyramids mm-hmm. and all through ancient history, you see these half-human, half-animal hybrids.
Yeah, like centaurs and all these.
That's right.
These animals. Mm-hmm.
And to see this gets fascinating because most people are familiar only with the Genesis account as far as it being a flood and God saved Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few more that see that angels cohabitated with women and produced Nephilim. But very few people catch the verse below that where it says, every creeping thing had corrupted its way upon the earth. And the book of Jasher, which is a historical book of Jewish content, states that the angels manipulated DNA. So all of this comes from angels playing with DNA.
Which is what we have happening on the world right now.
That's what I believe. And there was recently... I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Associated Press took a picture of the funeral procession of Kim Jong II, and it's on my website. And when they took this picture, one of the people standing in that line was 11 or 12 feet tall.
What?
Yes. Some of the people speculated he was a pro basketball player for the North Koreans, but a North Korean is about 5 foot, 3 or 4 feet tall. I mean, they're very short people.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is hey, get a contract to that guy.
Well, he was twice towering over anybody in there around him. So I think it's safe to say the North Koreans are manipulating with DNA, creating hybrids today. Mm-hmm. And if they're doing that, and we can catch that on a picture, you know, good and well, other larger governments are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me tell you a true story for me. I've never seen anything in with my eyeballs like you've seen. I've had a lot of strange, supernatural, poltergeist type of things happen, you know, because of the work we do with this ministry.
Sure.
But this, and I've told the story before on the program, but I'm going to tell it to you and see what you think I experienced. This was actually when I was unsaved, and this dream is what compelled me to go to church. I was in my 20s, and my wife had already started going to church, and I wouldn't go, you know, and I, because I had a hangover every Sunday morning, you know. And so she was going to church, and what... This one Saturday night, early Sunday morning, I had this bizarre dream. Now, again, I wasn't a Christian. I was, you know, totally in the world, drinking, smoking dope, the whole thing. I didn't own a Bible. I had never owned a Bible in my life, okay? And I had this dream that I was in an underground facility. I was deep under the earth. And it was a vast underground facility. There was pavement. It was kind of a dark area, but there was artificial light there, you know, and like street lights, you know, but there was this wide street, and there was a man. He had his back towards me, and he was in a military uniform, and he was barking out orders, and troops were coming out of the darkness on the left side and the right side, and I mean thousands of troops. Thousands of soldiers were running out, and they were strapping on their uniforms and their vests and their boots and their helmets and their weapons. And he was, you know, he was just yelling at them to move it. And I'm watching this vast army line up in the streets, and they're getting in formation row after row. And so I started moving towards them. And when I got up there, I realized, hey, these aren't people. They're not human. They got human bodies, but they had an animal face. And in fact, they kind of had like a lion's face. And and I tapped this this commander on the shoulder, and I said, "Excuse me, what's going on here?" And he whipped around and he stared. I remember I can still see his face. I mean, it was like I was like inches away from him, and he glared at me. And he had a look on his face like, that is the most stupid, idiotic question anybody has ever asked me. And he said one thing. He said, "Have you never read the book of the Revelation?" And
wow.
that was the end of the dream. And when I got up in the morning, my wife was dressed, getting ready to go to church. She said, "Are you going to go with me today?" And I said, "Uh-huh, I think I am." And the rest is history. And I started going to church, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in water. And here I am now on the radio and talking to you. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think I saw? What was that?
Well, two things come to mind right off the bat. One of them is David's mighty men of battle, is the way it's spoken of in First Chronicles. Forgotten which chapter it is. But his mighty men of battle slew two lion-headed men. And interestingly, these men had six fingers and six toes, but they had the heads of lions. Now, there's some modern researchers, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but Steve Quayle and Tom Horn.
Oh, yeah, they're friends and have been on this program many times over the years.
Right, and they talk about inside information that they've got of this very thing that you're talking about, underground installations and these creatures being hidden underground, and I have no doubt that that's true. The reason I say that more than anything else is, do you remember the story in Daniel about the iron, the, well, it was a statue that Daniel talks about, and talks about its legs and so forth, right, being Media and Persia.
Right.
Well, it gets down to the bottom of it, and it talks about the toes. It says it's 10 toes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's very interesting about that is the toes are iron and clay, and it states that they mix together.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you the impression that this is some kind of DNA manipulation that takes place in the end times. And I'm very sure that there is. And, you know, the whole basis of the book is a call to arms. It's saying, hey, we're in an unseen battle, and this is where those things are heading. You know, these fallen angels, the biggest verse in the book is when the disciples asked Jesus, well, what's it going to be like when the end times are here? And everybody can quote it to you. They say it's men are going to be given in marriage and being married, and things are just going like they always have been. Well, all right, well, how about let's go back and read about the days of Noah? Let's just don't, you know, take this at surface value. Let's see what he's talking about. And you go back to the days of Noah, and you find out that these Nephilim had so corrupted the earth and their children, the Eloid, that God had to destroy the earth. And he saved Noah, the only righteous one, from that bunch, because Noah's generations were perfect. There was no DNA corruption in Noah. The corruption had gone so far that he was the only man left on the earth whose DNA was not corrupted. And that's what we're going to see happen again here in these end times, is this corruption of human DNA with fallen angel DNA. And I started to use the word alien, mm-hmm, because I think that the
it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's going to revolve around that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I think when we talk about fallen angels, aliens, these are interchangeable terms.
This is correct. Yes, mm-hmm, yes, exactly.
CK, do you have any idea, any speculation on how currently in the modern day that they will corrupt the DNA of the human race?
I think in two forms. I think with government help. The thing that's been historically true about fallen angels is, number one, of course, they deceive. But number one is they never tell you what they are. They've always told mankind they were star gods. And I just happen to think that they've already contacted governments, claimed to be from the stars, and in turn have a technology. I mean, they've been working on technology for 10,000 years. Certainly they have technology. And, of course, we're in awe of technology.
You know, I interviewed a man years ago who claims that, let me try to remember, I want to say he interviewed U.S. soldiers who were at a military base in the 1950s, and that President Dwight Eisenhower landed there, and that all the soldiers were ordered to go inside their barracks. Nobody could see what was going on. But he claims that the soldiers told him that a space ship arrived, and that President Eisenhower conferred with the passengers on the space vehicle. It's a crazy story. But he, you know, this man swears he interviewed, mm-hmm, troops who were on that base, and he gives the date, the place, the whole thing. Have you heard any stories like that?
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Things very much around like that. Of course, the Roswell crash that everybody is familiar with is somewhat similar to that.
Maybe that's why President Eisenhower said, beware the military industrial complex.
Industrial complex, that's right.
Maybe he was saying this thing is deeper and more sinister than you realize.
It is. It's an evil prevailing the entire world, moving it toward, of course, a one-world government.
Mm-hmm. Going back to this thing of corrupting the DNA of the human race, could they do it through vaccines? Through genetically modified food?
I think that it would have to be a willing willingness to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be something that would be done. I tend to think it's going to have to be a hybrid kind of situation, sort of something created in a test tube or in vitro.
Mm-hmm. But could they be trying to get alien DNA into the human food supply so that we're ingesting it?
Well, I think not, because most things that are ingested, whether they're bacteria or viruses, are destroyed by the nucleic acids in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, vaccines, have been a lot that have been said about that. It is possible to take a virus and modify it to modify the DNA in cells. There is a theory that I'm working on, and when I say theory, it's something I'm not absolutely sure of here. But the mark of the beast, mentioned in Revelations, and it says that these people, once they've taken the mark of the beast, there is no redemption. That's it. And I wonder if maybe perhaps that's not some kind of DNA changing injection or process where these people become not entirely human. Therefore, they're not savable. Just food for thought, just the theory mm-hmm. that's being bounced around,
mm-hmm.
and which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What about the transhumanism movement?
Certainly something to be concerned about. Tom Horn's written a lot about it, and I'm in entire agreement. It's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I read the other day that they're making several monkeys have been made in vitro, and for a mixture of the genes and genetics of several other monkeys, and they've been able to perfect this. And all, of course, most people know about the sheep that was made in the test tube.
Right.
But these things are very dangerous because they are heading toward this hybrid kind of thing, and it carries a very good, nice picture on the front. How would we like to do away with genetic malfunctions in the human genome? No more
mm-hmm.
Genetic diseases. We could get perfect people. We could increase our intelligence. And more importantly for the governments, we could create super warriors, which I think is what's already going on. It's just not well known.
That's right. That's right. They're obviously preparing us for an army of robotic warriors. We already have the Air Force, the drone. One third of all the U.S. Air Force is now comprised of drones. And so, in a few years, we're going to be reading that one third of the infantry is comprised of robots.
Yes, robots, hybrids, something that's not entirely human. Yes, I agree.
You know, CK, I was just thinking about 5 years ago. After I interviewed one of our guests, and it was a prominent one of our prominent guests, and I'm not going to give the name because the person shared with me a personal dream, so I don't want to disclose identity. But after the interview, this individual, and I'll just say that the guest is a Christian. The interview was about a secular topic. But the guest is a Christian. And after the interview, the guest said, Rick, I wanted to ask you a question. I had a dream, and it's really disturbing me. And I said, what did you dream? Well, the dream was this person was taken into a scientific laboratory, and there were large, like, glass containers, like jars, and there were blobs in these containers in a liquid, and they mm-hmm. had a human form. They had eyeballs. They mm-hmm. they made eye contact with her. They tried to speak. They were attempting to communicate, and they looked mm-hmm. they looked desperate. They looked like they were pleading for help, for mercy. They were human-like creatures. that were floating in a liquid substance inside mm-hmm. these glass containers in a top-secret laboratory. And this person said, what in the world did I dream? And I said, I believe the Lord allowed you to see something that's actually taking place right now. I believe governments are creating these artificial human beings that they're growing.
Well, there's also in the UFO, and I talk about this in the book, in the UFO abduction phenomena, this is a very common thing, where particularly women are abducted. They'll have some kind of a sexual examination. Then they, are taken back, and then later they're abducted again, and some kind of fetus is removed from them. And they experience seeing the same sort of thing. So the fallen angels and the demonic realm are involved in this as well. So I don't know how much of it, is government, how much of it is the fallen angels and the demonic realm.
Mm-hmm.
But they both seem to be involved in some different varying levels. And certainly these fallen angels do not respect human rights. I have some people that say, well, how do you know that these aren't really aliens from different planets and solar systems? And I said, well, two reasons. I said, one is because the laws of physics, state you can't break the speed of light. It's a stop sign. And I said, second, and I think more importantly, is how many species would be capable of traveling here from some other planet or universe, and how many cattle do they have to mutilate, and how many women and men do they have to prod before they figure out what makes us tick? I mean, just common sense says that doesn't make sense. And if you go back in history...
So what do you think? What do you think they're doing?
I believe there's a hybrid breeding program going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also that it's about emotional energy. The demonic realm lives off of fear and emotional energy.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something that happened to me. I forgot about this as you were talking. This came back to my memory. This just happened maybe 2 months ago. I don't have a lot of stuff like this happening to me, so it's not like I live in a spooky world, and I'm worried about this kind of stuff. But I was asleep in bed, and during the middle of the night, a very large, dark object literally jumped on me in the bed. I actually felt the physical presence of this thing overshadowing me.
Right.
And it was attempting to get me to look in its eyes. And I looked one time. Now, all this was in my sleep, but it was so real. I looked one time, and it had a horse-like head.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned, and I refused to look at it. And it continued to try to force me to look in its eyes. And I would not look. And in my sleep, I called upon the name of Jesus, and the thing departed.
Amen. That's what we classically refer to as sleep paralysis.
Yeah, and I've had that before, CK, but this was different. This wasn't where I was, I felt a paralysis. This was like, get off of me, you big idiot.
Right, right. What I was going to say is they're tied in with the demonic. In the Middle Ages, stuff like that was called succubus and incubus. I don't know if you've ever heard those terms.
No.
But they're demons that transform into men or women or animals, and they would visit people at night.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that you're describing. Sometimes, in fact, I've even have them come sit on the bed, and the bed would go down just like there was somebody sitting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the sleep paralysis is when, something of this form comes in your dream or some figure does, and you can't move.
What is the sleep paralysis? Because I've had that a number of times. It's been many years, but one member of my family has been attacked with it repeatedly in recent months.
The only thing that will break that is when the person begins to call out in their sleep in the name of Jesus and command that identity to leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And that identity will depart, and the part won't come back. It will not like the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in 100% of the time with a believer, the name of Jesus will stop the sleep attacks or the type of attacks that you're talking about at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that as Christians like you and I, we're not going to experience some things through the years where we have to refurbish our swords.
Right.
But you can certainly stop these. And this is the same type of a thing that happens in the UFO abduction scenario. It's a demonic force that comes in and overpowers people, and they don't actually probably physically go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they have all the sensations and all the experiences as if they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I know a Christian. I personally talked to this person, a devout, spirit-filled Christian, and a number of years ago, because I know when this happened, and this person came to me and was very disturbed and said, this is what happened last night. But a blue orb came into their home at night.
Mm-hmm.
What is that all about?
Well, it could be a fallen angel. We have a tendency to think that fallen angels have to look like something like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But our modern day thoughts on what angels are quite off. In the New Testament, it tells us that Satan can appear as an angel of light. Now, it did not say that he had to appear in a personage of a humanoid form. It just said an angel of light. And I know people who are seeking these orbs and just praying to them, thinking that only God can create these orbs.
I'll tell you what, you may be talking to some people right now that are doing that, because I get letters and emails from people, and I try to tell them, you have no idea what you're doing. You are calling on the powers of darkness. That orb that you're seeking is not an angel.
No. I've seen godly angels a dozen times, at least that many. I've never seen one that looked like an orb.
I have never seen an angel that I know of.
Well, they look like people. Some shorter, some bigger. But godly angels have certain characteristics. Number one is they always point you to God. They always point to the scripture. They don't deceive. You know, the thing is about these orbs, and I keep reading about them, is that, you know, they have the same gospel that these ETs have, and that's how you know them, is by their fruit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I take that back, CK. There are several cases in my past where after something happened, I thought that person was an angel. That what happened
that's
was very
true too.
Yeah. But in terms of, you know, of seeing an angelic being, that has never happened. But I will tell you this. My previous dog, Duke, who's no longer here with me, I know. This sounds crazy.
No, this, dogs can see him.
I would tell you, this is a true story. This is when I was living in Texas, and we had a property with some acreage out between Granbury and Stephenville, Texas, and we were just surrounded by cattle and coyotes. And, you know, the sky is beautiful at night in Texas, and you can actually see the stars. And I was in the middle of a real serious battle, which is typical for me. And I was out doing my walking at night. I pray at night. I walk. I pray. And so I was outside, and my dog Duke, who was a white Great Pyrenees, he was with me, and and he usually just would walk with me, okay? And instead, he was seated. He was just sitting a couple hundred feet away from me. Sky was clear. I mean, not a cloud. You could see every star. Beautiful night. And I was praying, and I was I said, Father, I know we're going to come through this battle, whatever it was I was going through. And I said, I believe the angels are here with us right now. I believe the angels are encamped around us. I believe they're sitting on the roof of my house. I believe that. And I said,
Amen.
And I said, Father, you know, this is not a make or break thing, but I would like to see them. You don't have to show them to me to convince me they're here. I already know they're here, Father. I just like to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you would just be so kind to let me see them. I already believe they're here, but I'd like to see them. Well, I stood
Amen.
There. I stood there, and I waited, and I waited, and waited. I thought, please, I want to see them, you know. And I looked over at my dog, Duke, and he's sitting straight up. And, CK, he had his head pointed straight up to the sky. And his head was moving around, and his eyes were fixed on something, and his head's going around and around and around. And I said, Lord, that is not fair. My dog can see it, I can't, you know?
You ever wonder why dogs like some people and don't like other people?
Yeah, because of the passengers they're carrying with them.
That's right. They can see spiritual things.
Well, if you could see Gator right now, he is on his back with his feet up in the air.
Yeah, he's not fat.
Yeah, he's not worried about you at all. He's relaxed right now. Well, let's talk. We've got about let me look at our time here. We got roughly about 17 minutes here. Let's take this towards a new world order. Where is this going, CK? What are they trying to do?
Well, they, and if you read my book, they are going to be the fallen angels, which are two classes, if you want to use that term. They're fallen angels in humanoid form, which are among us, and then you've got the invisible fallen angels, both of which are working toward a one-world government and a one-world monetary system. Now, people talk about the conspiracies, the Masonics, the Illuminati, but these are all the small game. The real conspiracy of evil that's brought us to the apex of where we're at today on the footsteps of the apocalypse are these fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought about it, and you've read the book, you know that I built a case that the fallen angels mated with humans, created in the phylum. God destroyed the world. But then when Israel went back into Canaan land, they again were confronted with giants. For instance, Goliath. Now, when you took your Sunday school class, you just took, for instance, Goliath at face value and never asked how you got to go. How does that happen? Well, it happened the same way that it happened in the beginning. Fallen angels mated with humans. Now, I believe this from what I can discern from the New Testament, particularly from Jude and Peter, that when these angels leave their original dominion and take upon themselves flesh, they can't go back. There's a tremendous amount of, energy that's required for them to do that. And so these fallen angels who took upon themselves flesh and mated with humans back during the time the Israelites went into Canaan land have always still been among us. They're the real power brokers. They're the real, quote, Illuminati. The real conspiracy, if you want to say conspiracy theory, is this: these angels, and, you know, they've gathered around themselves much power and money. And to give you an example, if they show up in history and make themselves known, they have no real background, and they disappear. Mm-hmm. Hitler is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, tell me who Hitler's great-great-grandfather was. You can't do it. Stalin. Tell me who Stalin's father was, or who Stalin's mother was, or who Stalin's grandfather was.
Yeah, Stalin wasn't a Russian either.
He just came out of nowhere.
Kind of like Barack Obama.
Exactly.
He doesn't, the guy doesn't have a past.
Exactly. I didn't say that. You did. Yeah, yes, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. He could very well be what we're speaking about. And it's very interesting that on that note that he doesn't cast much emotion. Very controlled individual. Almost like looking at a billboard. You're only seeing what he wants you to see. Doesn't seem to have the empathy that most humans have with other humans. You know, the wrinkles in their face, the look of just being tired because of everything in the world that comes against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most presidents, by the time he's been in office, are starting to turn gray and they look pretty worn out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like he's changed today.
No. And in fact, you know, as I said in the beginning of the program, later this week, we're going to have Andrew Bisalgo, Andrew Bisalgo on the program. This is going to be an interesting interview because Mr. Bisalgo claims that when he was a young man in his 20s, that he was part of his father, who worked for a defense contractor, enrolled him in a top secret U.S. intelligence agency, U.S. military kind of Stargate type of project involving time travel. And I don't know if you would call it astral projections. And he claims that that during a 3-year period, one of his co-students was a guy named Barry Satoru. That's going to be an interesting interview. But what you're saying is we've got some world leaders who they really don't
come
have
out of nowhere.
They come out of nowhere and they do a lot of damage.
That's right.
They do a lot of damage to the world. Are you acquainted with the case of the young computer hacker from Great Britain, Gary McKinnon?
I don't recognize the name.
Okay.
All
right. Well, this several years ago, I guess it's probably been 5 years or so ago. He's just a young guy, you know, in Great Britain, and he hacked into the Pentagon computers. And he claims that he uncovered a list of active duty U.S. military commanders who are not human. Now, the U.S. government wants their hands on this young man, and they want to put him in Guantanamo, and he'll probably end up with a broom up his butt.
yeah.
I mean, that boy, if they ever get him, it's over for him.
You're right.
I mean, they
and with these new passages of these laws that have just been this last defense budget, any one of us Americans could be in Guantanamo without even a fair hearing.
That's right. And so far, the British government has not extradited him to the U.S. But I don't know if some point they're going to give him up or not. But again, he claims that he saw a list of active duty military officers who were what he said were space aliens. Now, listen, the Pentagon computers get hacked every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them going after people with this type of vengeance. They want this guy.
Well, I'm often, for some time, been assured, in Thessalonica, the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul wrote to them, and he talked about a deception that would come upon the world, and it would deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. And I believe what that deception will be that, quote, aliens, who are fallen angels, masquerading as aliens, will, if you would, land on the White House lawn. It's going to become a public disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And the government, I think, is deceived. I think they're actually working with aliens.
Oh, I believe that, too. I believe that they really think that they are receiving technology and advice from higher forms of intelligence.
Yes. And I think that's going to be the great deception. I think the whole world will follow after that.
CK, do you believe that this disclosure, this public disclosure of contact with extraterrestrials, which you and I know are demonic spirits, do you think this is going to happen after some horrific catastrophe on the planet, perhaps a world war?
I think it'll take place prior to a world war, but I see many troubles coming, which I see limited nuclear exchanges coming probably in the foreseeable future. I think that the book of Revelation makes it pretty clear that in one place it says a third of the grass is burned up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be, the world soon will be in such great alarm that they'll be looking for some kind of savior.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could see that nuclear exchange. It could actually happen this year regarding Iran.
Right. It could happen this month or next month.
That's right. We could have We could have nuclear devices going off in American and European cities any day. Just a few days ago, Ayatollah Khamenei told the Iranians there's going to be a great event, and very soon, and the great Satan America will be destroyed. So we don't know what he's talking about.
Nuclear device could very well destroy America, collapsing its economy.
That's right. Plus, a retired Indian military commander is warning his country he believes China will attack India in June or July of this year.
Hmm.
And both of those countries.
I've not heard that, but I know that there's some rumors, some rumbling going on between the two of them.
That's right. But both India and China have nuclear weapons. And whether it will go that far, I don't know. But he believes China is getting ready for a surprise attack on India. So anyhow, the bottom line, what we're saying here is that perhaps when the world is in a state of shock, perhaps, you know, after the sudden death of tens of millions of people or hundreds of millions of people, this may be the right time.
That's correct.
To bring the grand deception forth.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking, we're on the subject, I'm not looking for, you know, the body of Christ to be, shall we say, relieved of all these troubles. I really don't know how bad it's going to get. You know, some people say they're a pantry, that's just however it pans out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read my Bible and I read what's happening, I believe that there's a rapture. I just think that it takes place after the tribulation.
Well, you're in good company here, because most of the people listening to this radio program think the same thing.
Well, good, because, you know, I think that part of what the book is saying is it's saying you need to get ready for these things that are coming on the earth. These are serious things we're talking about. And if we go into them in a slumber with our heads in the ground, you know, like an ostrich, and we can't see what's going on around us, we, the body of Christ, are not going to be in a position to say anything to the world.
CK, do you think this disclosure of alien life, again, the demonic powers, do you think this is the great deception Jesus was warning us about in the last days?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 24, when he said, if it's possible, if the elect of God could be deceived. You think this is it?
This is it, yes.
I do, too. I think it's going to, I think when this, you know, I said this, you know, 12, 13 years ago on the radio. You know, there'll be a day when world leaders will walk out on the stage at the United Nations with an alien.
Exactly. They've already got an alien ET ambassador.
That's right. Well, you're talking about there's a UN ambassador assigned. It's a human, supposedly. Mm-hmm. A human who's mm-hmm. been assigned by the United Nations to greet the aliens when they arrive.
That's right.
That's for real.
Absolutely.
That's for real.
Mm-hmm. That's for real. Yes, that's a fact. You can Google it and find it. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm. So, and the Vatican. The Vatican talks about the Vatican has an observatory. They have astronomers. The Vatican scientists are expecting to make contact with extraterrestrials.
Right.
And they even said they would baptize them. They would have souls and they will baptize them.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think that's going to be happening in my church.
I don't think I'm going to church with any aliens.
No, I'm not baptizing any aliens here. So when this happens, and we're down to about 2 minutes or less than 2 minutes. What is your spiritual advice to the body of Christ? If this disclosure happens, how are we going to stay grounded that Christians are not pulled into this great deception?
Teaching that is correct. We get the elephant out of the closet. You know, the elephant right now is in the closet or the middle of the room. We talk all around these things, but the mainstream church needs to accept these things, truly biblical teachings, things like the Nephilim, fallen angels. We get it out there in the open, and then we get in the Christian community. We link together, we prepare together that we can face these things that are coming, whether we have to go underground as a church or if we're able to stay out in the open. We'll do like the first church. We'll go into community, but teaching beforehand, this call to arms I talk about in the book is important. People need to hear the truth so that they're armed with something to combat these things with.
I think it's good advice. Now, I want to tell everybody, this book, is brand new. It's called Fallen Angels, Giants, UFO Encounters, and the New World Order. Real quickly, CK, where can they get the book?
The book's available at Christian bookstores, but it's certainly available very easily on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, ChristianBookDistributors.com. Most people, like I said, are familiar with Amazon, and also my website has it. It's www.fallenangels-ckquarterman.com.
All right, there's our closing music. It is fallenangels-ckquarterman.com. Quarterman, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-M-A-N. FallenAngels-CKQuarterman.com. Again, the book is Fallen Angels, Giants, UFO Encounters, and the New World Order. My guest today, CK Quarterman. It's been a fascinating interview and discussion, and I know we'll have CK back here on True News in the future. I want to say to listeners who have not yet made a decision to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit attracted you to this program today for a reason, that you would listen to CK and me talk about this fascinating subject, because there is a day coming. The whole world will fall for a great deception. You need to believe on the name of Jesus now. You need to be saved now. And I pray that you will make things right with God tonight before you go to sleep. I'll see you tomorrow.